Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda with Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Craig Cardola, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Ascension in St. Louis. Craig, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to the discussion.
Now, before we begin, could you please tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Happy to do that. I've joined Ascension just about 3 years ago, and I've been serving as the Chief Operating Officer just for about the past 18 months. And my background overall, I started in physician practice management after getting my MBA and MHA, and really had my entire career in the Houston marketplace, and ultimately moved into operations of hospitals, and was fortunate to lead as both Vice President of Operations and then CEO of a children's hospital, and then moved on from there within the same organization and became CEO of a large academic medical center campus, which was just absolutely fun work to do for sure. And then progressed from there to kind of running a region of that same company. And then, as I'd mentioned, joined Ascension just about 3 years ago and came over as ministry market executive for our Texas market, which is predominantly in Austin and in Waco, Texas. And then after about 18 months in that role, was asked to serve as chief operating officer and been having a great time doing that since then.
Well, fantastic. I'm looking forward to our discussion. My first question is, what are your top priorities today, and how do you think they'll change over the next year?
Yeah, well, obviously in the midst of a pandemic for sure, and just so thrilled, honestly, with our ministry's response and caring for the patients that we serve and also our associates as our primary concern during what has just been obviously an extraordinary past 10 to 12 months. And for us, you know, I think about kind of what's ahead and what the priorities are. Honestly, I think there's a simplicity to it and a complicated component of the same, but we have to continue to make sure that we're supporting our communities and the patients that we're called to serve. And so out of the gate, regardless of pandemic, regardless of the stresses that's ahead of us, we have to show up every day and take great care of patients, which is really what we're here to do. The second component of that, which is broader community, obviously with the vaccines now, is ensuring that we're doing everything that we can to distribute and effectively give vaccines, both to our associates, but also the broader community that we serve, and in particular, the poor and the vulnerable, to make sure that we have equity across the board. And then finally, not surprisingly, but looking ahead at it, once we get on the other side of kind of the immediacy of COVID, just trying to ensure that we're positioning our healthcare ministry for the long term so we can continue to serve the patients like we've done for the past 100 years. So there's a lot of work ahead for us as we come out on the other side of COVID.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. And one follow-up question there,
Sure.
For your number two, I know you mentioned that vaccines obviously are a huge focus right now in the distribution. Absolutely. So when you talk about having and trying to make sure that that distribution is equitable and making sure that people have access that may traditionally not have as much access to healthcare, what types of things are you doing or what is Ascension doing to make sure that they fulfill that gap and really kind of take those efforts forwards even beyond vaccine distribution to help reach those types of populations?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. I think one that all health systems candidly are struggling with a little bit. And as you know, the federal guidelines and the state-by-state guidelines dictate a lot of what we do. And so our first priority was the 1A, which is getting our own associates vaccinated. And we've been fortunate. We've now distributed over 200,000 vaccines for our frontline caregivers, which has just been extraordinary. And we've now started to shift into that next part. And, you know, we're still largely 65 and older or having significant medical conditions that meet the criteria for the COVID vaccination, which we're doing through our Ascension Medical Group practices, as well as our ministries, you know, throughout the country. But the next element is addressing vaccine hesitancy and also ensuring that there's equity in what we're doing and how we're getting these vaccines distributed. Right now, we're doing a lot of community-based work to talk about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine, how to access the vaccine, doing outreach in some cases with church groups or school settings to make sure that we can both get the message out about the vaccine, but also make that accessible to the people that need it the most and to keep them and their family safe as well. Still a lot of work ahead of us as a country and also as a healthcare ministry, but very excited about our associates' response in ensuring that we continue to meet our mission of serving the poor and the vulnerable and making sure that that's at the forefront, including during the vaccine distribution.
Got it. That makes sense. Thank you so much for going through that and explaining that a little further for me. Now, I'm wondering, you know, you just talked about obviously being excited to work on this vaccine distribution and work with your colleagues on that for the community. What else makes you excited right now, and what are you nervous about?
Yeah, well, on the excited part, I honestly have just really enjoyed my time serving at Ascension. And with this leadership team, it's been super fun just to respond and care for our associates during the COVID pandemic, but also building out new strategies for us and finding new ways to reach communities and also patients. And so some of the strategy work that we're doing and implementing across Ascension right now, whether it be ambulatory surgery center, some of our post-acute care work, expansion of our imaging, as well as significant investments in growth within our existing ministries, I really like that work. I like focusing on building clinical programs that are meeting the needs of the patients that we serve. And so that's exciting right now. And at the same time, very intentional about the work that we're doing as a leadership team and how that's impacting our associates and the culture that we want for our organization and our ministry. We care deeply about how we care for people, and that's both in the clinical setting, but also how we care for one another and our associates. And I like that kind of work. I like to make sure that we're leading in a way that's both intentional and positive and really setting the direction for our organization. And then the last thing I would say I'm kind of excited about is, honestly, this has been a difficult time for us, but it's brought us together in ways that you couldn't orchestrate otherwise. And so, you know, really in the midst of this crisis, it solidified and galvanized our entire ministry of 160,000 associates and our 40,000 medical staff in a way that I'm not sure otherwise could have been done as quickly as we wanted. And so I'm excited about this new unified One Ascension ministry that the pandemic, frankly, accelerated for us. And so I'm excited to see what we're going to be able to accomplish together in the future. And then you also asked what I'm worried about. And are nervous about, I think, specifically, you said. And for me, it's really about our people and our associates who have just been through a very difficult, uncertain, stressful time in their careers, in their personal lives, in their kids' lives. And I'm not sure we all understand the magnitude of what that's going to mean for the workforce going forward. And I know that they're going to need respite and pause and to get re-energized for their work, but I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like. And so there's a nervousness to me of just making sure that we're paying attention to our associates and our medical staff's needs to make sure that we're caring for them as well, because they've done just extraordinarily work caring for patients.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I really appreciate you spelling out, you know, kind of what you're looking forward to, what types of projects Ascension is really focused on for the coming years. And, you know, thinking about the clinicians, as you mentioned, just how sure difficult it's been personally and professionally for them in the past year. Do you see any type of relief or has Ascension developed anything, any programs during the pandemic that were geared towards helping staff, clinical staff or any other staff being able to cope with this difficult time and making sure that they don't get too burnt out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we have, as again, most health systems have, but I've been really proud about our approach. And I give a lot of credit to our CEO, Joan Piccicchi, who made it really clear to us, our job is to take care of our associates and to take care of patients. And that was the priority. And if that's the focus, then you do things like differently to take care of your people and your associates. And we have put together many programs. One thing that we did is we did not lay off one employee during this entire pandemic. We doubled down and wanted to make sure that our associates had full employment and that that was one thing that they didn't have to worry about in the midst of COVID. We have done a lot around their spiritual and wellness and well-being through our organizational development teams, as well as human resources and our mission integration teams. We've provided additional vacation time for these individuals. We've obviously provided additional pay support. We've, in many cases, through our foundations, have provided needs-based financial support to help them, whether it be for car repairs or home rent or home mortgage payments in the event that perhaps their spouse lost a job. And early on in the pandemic, we also were worried about our staff taking COVID home to their own families. And so for many of them, we paid for outside housing or hotels in order to be able to give them some peace so that they could take care of their patients and do their work and also not feel this uncertainty or uneasiness about potentially taking COVID home to their families. And so those are just a few ways of which we've tried to step in, and we're continually learning about what we could do differently to meet the needs of our associates, and certainly continue to look for new ideas and new ways to do that as well.
That's great to hear. Thank you so much, Craig. Now, my last question is around leadership. What are your top three pieces of advice for emerging leaders today?
Well, I think we're all learning. And even as now, I guess I'm becoming a seasoned healthcare leader, I still learn things every day as well. So, you know, my comments to this are going to be one guy's opinion and one leader's opinion, but recognizing there's many other priorities and advice for young and emerging leaders. But I've always had this one fundamental premise around leadership that our success is really going to be defined more based on the quality of our relationships that we build, more so than the number of transactions that we make. And that means a lot to me. And it speaks to my earlier comments about how we treat one another and how we work together. But the value of meaningful relationships as a leader with your other leadership team, your direct reports, the people that report to them, and just taking a genuine interest in who they are as a person, I think is a tremendous impact to an organization and sets that leader apart very, very differently than many others. And so at my core, A, that's the work I really like to do. And B, I think that that's just an important part of how we show up as leaders. So that would be one for sure at the top of my list. I think the other is I always ask and talk to young leaders just to be reflective. You know, think back. You learn from everybody. You could be in a meeting watching somebody present to 10 people, or you could be in the audience watching somebody present to 1,000. What was effective about that presentation or that discussion? Did they allow others to speak up? What was their tone like? Were they inclusive in the discussion points? What could have been done differently, perhaps, if that was you, to where you could have made that meeting more effective? And I think there's a simplicity to that that's important for leaders just to continually be in the mindset of how do I improve as a leader? How do I improve as a person? And I think you can do that through everyday interactions, just like I just described. And so that's another key element. And then the last thing, which leaders sometimes forget, is how we show up every day matters. Our employees, the people we interact with, all take subtle and direct clues from us, how we approach them. Do we recognize them and speak to them in the elevator? There are so many clues that leaders kind of put out, and I think it's important for us to be aware of that and just to be real and human and show some humility and some professionalism and make sure that we're showing up every day recognizing that we're there to serve and what a privilege it is to lead people that has an impact on their job, their career, their family, and that makes a difference on who you are as a leader. I remember early on when I was leading an organization, just the realization that by virtue of us leading, it impacts the people that work with us, and they are choosing where to work and may send their kid to college or buy their first car or buy their first house by virtue of their employment with us. And that is a huge both burden, but what a wonderful privilege to lead. And so I think just viewing leadership from the impact perspective really makes a difference in how we show up for work every day.
Thank you so much for going through that, Craig. I think, you know, your three points were great in terms of number one, having success be defined by the quality of relationships rather than the transactions made or the volume of transactions made.
Right.
Absolutely. And number two, being reflective and especially figuring out how you can improve as a leader on a constant basis with some of the just interactions that you have on a daily basis. And then number three, how you show up every day makes a difference and it matters to employees. So thank you so much for going through all of that with us. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Yeah, it was a privilege. And again, we're all learning, but I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today and appreciate the great work that you guys do for our industry.